Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You buy a pair of socks, that's two socks. You buy a pair of Bombas socks, that's four socks. Because one purchased is one donated. Socks are the number one most requested clothing item in homeless shelters. So when you buy a pair of super comfortable Bombas socks, you're also donating a pair. Bombas customers have powered over 150 million donations. So Bombas would like to thank you 150 million times. But we only have like 30 seconds. Go to bombas.com and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO at checkout.
This episode is brought to you by Marshalls, where you never have to compromise between quality and price. The buyers of Marshalls hustle hard, working to bring you great deals on brand name and designer pieces. Because Marshalls believes everyone deserves access to the good stuff. Visit a Marshalls store near you or shop online at marshalls.com.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans, send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th, and never miss a meme or milestone, all protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
Everyone, welcome to Pod Maverick After Dark. It's Kirk Henderson and Josh Bowe. We're coming to you on Thursday night. It is October 9th. It's about 8:45. Josh, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm good. So you guys are probably wondering why we're doing these now. I don't really have a good reason. We probably should have done them earlier, but we didn't want to. And we're here now, and more people are paying attention, and there's more things happening over at Mavs Moneyball. And just like the Dallas Mavericks are trying to get back up on their horse, we are doing the same. We talked in our pre-show whether we should discuss any news. And the thing about this this team as we have it right now is there's nothing. And I actually mean that in a compliment. Like there's no drama. We don't know where Dante Exum is, but if Dante Exum is a key point in the season, then the Mavericks might be in trouble. Got no other way to phrase that one. So I've been, we watched some of these clips at a training camp. We had the one preseason half to react to. And now we have another game to cover on Saturday against the Hornets. Where the two former Mavericks who are on that team are out and not playing, Josh and Grant. So this is just kind of an odd point, but it's as somebody was saying today, somebody on the Twitter found like one, you know, I don't know. I think I've done pretty good for me in terms of being even keeled and bordering on positive, but somebody found like the one video they didn't like that I did and was like, some people always look to be negative. I'm just like, can't make everybody happy. We're here talking basketball, and I am looking forward to real games. These preseason games might be a little bit of a slog, but that with understanding that, let's just kind of hop right in and talk about sort of our expectations for the four guys that we have on the rundown here. So let's start with probably the guy I find to be the most intriguing, just in terms of, I think, the range of outcomes for his season. And that's PJ Washington. PJ is coming off of a really, really good season. He just recently, as of within, 45 days or so, signed a contract extension, which means he is not eligible to be traded in this calendar season. So 25 and 26, he can probably be traded once the business year switches over next year, probably after July. He's a lock in the Mavericks rotation. And what that means is a wide variety of outcomes, because the Mavericks rotation and lineup and all that sort of stuff is going to be weird. So how should we kick off kind of our discussion of him?
I made a point about him before the preseason game when they kind of unveiled the starting lineup and he wasn't in it. And just noting that it's weird, but not, and I specifically said weird and not bad because it's not bad, but like, just if you pull back in a vacuum and it's like, this guy was a starter in Charlotte for 3 out of 5 seasons, came to Dallas, was a starter for 2 years. That first year in Dallas as a starter, they make the finals. He's a starter on a finals team, comes back the next season, is another starter, although with injury issues. And last season was like probably the best season of his career, if you really look at it. He had slightly better scoring in some previous Charlotte season. But in terms of like total package and impact on winning, I know the Mavericks weren't very good last year, but before the mess and injuries and Luka trade, I mean, I'm pretty convinced he was going to make an all defense team. I mean, he was putting a special season together before it went to hell. So to do that and then be at 27, still be at your athletic prime, and now you're coming off the bench is weird. Like, you just don't see that. Like, and again, it's not bad. The Mavericks have a bunch of forwards and centers. They have a bunch of injury-prone forwards and centers. I'm sure there will be a stretch where PJ Washington is starting games for 2 weeks when someone gets hurt or someone needs a break or what have you. Like, not worried about that. He also signed his extension, so it doesn't really matter now. You know, the only potential downside to him coming off the bench to me was if they hadn't got him signed and he's coming off the bench on an expiring contract. Like, I don't think you would like that, because now you're potentially messing with his money. So he's got his money, but it is weird. Like, if you would have told someone before the NBA Finals started, before that game one against Boston, and you said, hey, in 2 seasons, PJ and Gafford are going to be coming off the bench, I don't know if they would believe you.
Maybe so
lively, but both? Like, I'm not sure. It's just kind of funny how that works out.
So, did you heard my brief situation? I don't want to say player comparison, because I don't think it's fair. You heard my situation comparison on the last show we did, right? For PJ Washington.
I think so, yeah.
It's Antoine Jameson.
Yes.
Antoine Jameson came to the Mavericks in the 2003-2004 season. He arrived after playing in Golden State. Looks like if I'm looking at his salaries correctly, and I could be wrong here, this is like way back data at this point, he played out his rookie contract, signed a new contract with Golden State. They traded him after 1 year to the Mavericks. Do you remember how many games Antoine Jameson started without looking in 2003-2004, which was a really fun Mavericks year?
I mean, he won Sixth Man of the Year, so it wasn't a lot. So, he started two
games.
Okay,
that was a loaded Mavericks team in some odd ways. Like, it was an oddly constructed roster. But I want to use that situation comparison and just sort of lean into it for me. What my sort of hope is for him, because I've just been thinking about it, and if he can come in off the bench and carve up opposing teams the way he did against that weak Thunder team the other day, that is an element I just hadn't given much consideration to, because I didn't want to you were probably, you were right early on, and I just, it's not that I didn't want to believe it, but I just didn't really give a lot of thought to the lineups and to the roster construction about how, and rotation is really what I mean. And so him doing this, him coming in and playing, let's just say he averages about 30 minutes a game his whole career. His entire career is about 30 minutes a game. If he plays 26 minutes a game, you know what? But Jameson played that year. Yeah, he almost played 30 minutes a game. That was one of the least minutes game he had his entire career with the Mavericks that year. I think he could have some fun just kicking the crap out of bad, you know, lesser opponents. Because one thing that I really enjoyed about his game evolution last year, and then, you know, the 20 games or so that he played with the Mavericks in the regular season following the trade, was that he has a lot of different ways in which he can score. When he was with Luka, a lot of driving kick threes, you know, some slashing and finishing, but Luka had the ball so much. You know, when Luka didn't have the ball, when Luka was injured, they kind of put PJ in some interesting positions on the floor, short corner post-ups, things like that. And he just has a lot of – he's not incredible at anything on offense, but he's really good at a lot of things. And he's just got a lot of variability to his game. And so I just wonder, for a team that really might, I don't know, struggle to score, it seems a little bit of an alarmist. But I think they're just going to have scoring droughts based on the way the roster is constructed. And if they switch out some things with him, you know, maybe being part of weirder lineups off the bench, I think there's just an opportunity there for him to put up some nice stats.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with like his paint game, mm-hmm. like get him in some mismatches, have him bully ball,
draw some fouls
on a low block. Yeah. Did he get to the free throw line a lot in that first preseason game? I can't remember.
No, that was such a, it was such a,
I mean, it's preseason. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you could see the vision.
I just remember him attacking. Like there was there's a lot of like, I'm going to go score, which.
And I think people, I don't want to say people forget, but like, I think his reputation in Dallas was kind of like, oh, he's like a defensive 3-and-D defensive first, like player. Like he was an offensive player coming out of Kentucky. And then when he was in Charlotte, like he has offensive skill to his game. He has scored 40 something plus points twice in his career. So there's always something kind of funny about the idea that he's just kind of like this stiff role player where any shots he makes is kind of like a bonus. Like, no, he has scoring bona fides, which is why, you know, frenemy of the show, Matt Moore, we had discussions about PJ and what was a fluke and what wasn't when he in the playoffs in 2024. And, you know, kind of like this guy was shooting 32%. How is he doing this? This is all luck. And it's like, I mean, I guess, but he's also like, he has scored a lot of points up until this point. He is not a Tony Allen type figure. Like he has some offensive pedigree. So if you put him off the bench, I mean, it balances the starting lineup because I really do think you need Clay. Like it just, they need any gravity that they can get. And then I think you give your backup some identity and you give someone to kind of lead that charge, especially with Kyrie out. They don't really have a backup, because D'Angelo Russell will eventually be the backup point guard, and they don't really have that until Kyrie gets back.
Yes. Sorry.
No, you're good. Sorry.
Your question. Just out of screen. Defensively, I expect nothing but good things.
Of course. Yep.
Yeah. He's turned into a really nice defensive player in Dallas. You mentioned that you thought he was heading towards an all-defensive team. Don't really think that's possible with this squad, just because I think he will be overshadowed by, I mean, Davis and Flagg for one. But he's going to be part of a potentially elite defense. So that's pretty fun. Right.
Yeah.
Well, good stuff for PJ Washington. I'm glad there's elements of security to his season this year. He only played 57 games last year, kind of part of the, but he had injuries himself that he was dealing with. The Mavericks were just brutally banged up last year. I had forgotten he was even hurt that much, and we covered every stinking game. All right, next guy on the list, and then we'll take a break. Let's do Clay. Man, you know, Clay is just, I'm disappointed that the season, in terms of how things went last year, didn't work out in the way that maybe he would have envisioned. But he ended up, you know, he had 14 points, played 72 games. I think he was the second most durable Maverick outside of Spencer Dinwiddie. For like 39% from three on pretty good volume. You know, his defense isn't there anymore, but that's not what the Mavericks signed him for anyways. He just seems like a really fun teammate. I think that like he seems to really some of these guys, basketball's their job. Like they're good at it and they do like it. But like when Clay, he was like the most excited guy at media day. And it just, it matters to me. Like I really loved hearing him talk about the 2011 team. I like watching him play and move. Hopefully the Mavericks will get him involved in some more interesting sets like we saw after the Luka trade. A lot less Clay standing and a lot more Clay kind of being a threat. I would like to hope that someone has told him to stop pump faking and just shoot the damn ball. You're one of the best three-point shooters of all time. But I don't really know what to expect from him this year because the spacing is going to be whack. And I don't know if that matters. He's Klay Thompson. But it's going to be like, this is technically, we should sort of consider him an expiring contract of sorts because his contract next year is not, it's a weird third year thing. The Mavericks will do right by him in any situation. That's not what I mean. It just, this feels like it's going to be the last year that plays in the Mavs is. And so I hope things go well and I hope it's fun because watching a guy like that, you just Mavericks haven't had a shooter. You know, he's one of the, again, best 3-point shooters of all time. You just don't get guys like that in the building very often.
No. And I think like Mavericks fans would probably be surprised if they weren't looking at the numbers that he shot 39% yes. from three last year. Cause I think, he was just so hot cold, but he was
game log is speaks to that effect. Like yeah.
it was pretty funny. And he was downright terrible on twos. He shot far and away a career low on twos. He was about 45% down from 50 the previous year, down from, you know, he's usually around 48, 40, 47. So to go all the way down to 44.8, you know, he wasn't great on twos. You know, he did a lot. He did that thing where he would pump fake open threes and take like a midi and it wouldn't look great. So that's stuff that he could maybe clean up. I don't know. I mean, I don't know where he's going to get clean looks at two with the way that this offense is going to run with all the bigs in the paint. So, I mean, his job is going to be, I mean, he is low key one of the most crucial players on this roster because he's literally, I mean, it's him and D'Angelo Russell in terms of 3-point threats until Kyrie gets back for the most part. And in terms of like threatening 3-point threats, like that changes the way a defense guards you. I mean, Russell can do that. You know, Russell's got a reputation, but I mean, Clay will literally change floor balance in a way that I don't think any other player on the roster is capable of. I mean, even Kyrie, his off ball floor gravity is going to be crucial because they're going to need every inch they can get, even if they're not going to be a high volume 3-point shooting team. Even if Clay is going to be the one who makes most of the threes and there's not going to be a lot else, like him just being on the floor, even if he's not, like, let's say he's shooting like 36, 37% from three, or he's going through a slump.
Yep.
He's going to be so important just standing on the floor, even if they don't do any, like, he just has to be on the floor. If they want to make this Anthony Davis at the four, play a center, play a big wing, you know, play big, play bully ball. Like, you still have to give those guys some room, and defenses aren't going to respect them if someone like Clay isn't on the floor.
So last year, Clay took on average 7.7 threes a game in 27 minutes. His minutes were down a little bit. I think you could probably – he had shot over nine for three straight years coming back off of injury. Because remember, he missed all of 2019 and all of 2020. I don't know why Basketball Reference has him projected out at shooting 10 threes a game. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think I know why, because the Mavericks need the volume. Shoot three more threes a game is a lot. Like I think I'm okay with it though. Like the Mavericks best, you know, we're going to talk about this more as the season goes into it. They're going to have to do some real pace control, I think. And you know, if they're shooting threes, then they also, additionally, excuse me, have to crash the offensive boards really hard, hard. And they've got the guys to do it. So, you know, we'll see. I'm very much, I like watching Clay play basketball And, you know, we're moved on from the Luke era. It'll get referenced quite a bit, but it's just, it's going to be such a different stylistic version of basketball. And I think for a player like Clay, if he's feeling right, if his body's feeling right, hopefully Kidd will be able to move him into spots where he can succeed. He's not going to have a, you know, we're not getting like a throwback season, but if we can have a good enough season from him.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Then that really increases the Mavericks' chances of getting up within the playoff race because he's just that important of a player. Okay, about halfway through the show here, and we're going to take a quick break. But before we do, just take a note. If you are interested in supporting our show, I'm just going to be a lot more blunt about it this year. We appreciate the people that do so, the YouTube comments, the power chats, that sort of thing. YouTube takes a pretty healthy cut. And it's like 30 to 40%, I think. So if you're interested in supporting the show at all, there's a link that's pinned in the chat, which I'll throw out there. And then there is a link within the comments itself, both in the YouTube and within the podcast. If you're listening after the fact on an audio stream, Josh and I split that. Goes to me, but that's just because I like Josh lets me handle stuff because I don't think he wants to have to do math. Of math, so you know we're just you know we've been here for a while. I haven't ever really expected or you know asked for support, but it's just you know this is getting harder and harder for Josh and I to do, and so direct support means a more I think that incentivizes us. So okay, we'll be right back after inserting those ads. So I know they're about you know a couple minutes, but if you could listen to those, that really helps. We'll be right back.
Doug.
Limu and I always tell you to customize your car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. But now, we want you to feel it. Cue the emu music, Limu.
Save yourself money today. Increase your wealth. Customize and save, we say.
That may have been too much feeling.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
When it comes to what your family eats and drinks, you know your choices matter. You're the expert because you know what fits your life. And getting it right starts with good information. That's why America's beverage companies are sharing more information about our ingredients at goodtoknowfacts.org. No spin, no judgments, just the facts straight from the experts for more than 140 beverage ingredients. Visit goodtoknowfacts.org.
Everything feels a bit uncertain right now. A few months ago, you never would have expected eggs being factored into your monthly budget. New sources of stress equal more opportunities for breakouts to strike. Luckily, Mighty Patch Original shrinks the look of pimples in just one use. We'd say that's a pretty good deal. Shop Mighty Patch at all major retailers.
Your team. Adjective. Used to describe an individual whose spirit is unyielding, unconstrained, one who navigates life on their own terms, effortlessly. They do not always show up on time, but when they arrive, you notice an individual confident in their contradictions. They know the rules, but behave as if they do not exist. New team, the new fragrance by Miu Miu, defined by you.
Upgrade your laundry routine with a durable and reliable Maytag laundry pair at Lowe's. Like the new Maytag washer and dryer with performance-enhanced stain-fighting power designed to cut through serious dirt and grime. And what's great is this laundry pair is in stock and ready for delivery when you need it the most. Don't miss out. Shop Maytag in-store or online today at Lowe's.
Uh, Okay. I also need to figure out how to insert the video ads in the right place, but that's neither here nor there. That's a one day thing. I noticed a slight uptick in our subscribers. If you would consider subscribing to our show, I would love that. Josh and I, or one of us and someone from the Mavs Moneyball crew, record after every game. I'm going to do my best to do a post game show after every single game, which I am around. I did a brief one after the preseason game, but obviously there wasn't a lot of interest in that game. I don't think people were really even knew how to watch it. So I'm going to do one again on Saturday. And if you like, you know, giving your takes, consider it like a radio show where you can call in, you can video in. I've had lots of fun doing these over the years. It invigorates me and makes me want to keep doing this. So please consider joining that show after the fact. Look for that on Saturday night after Josh and I or one of us record. So we'll see here. All right, next guy we got to talk about. So let's do D'Angelo Russell. Let's just sort of switch it up based off of it compared to what's in the title. D'Angelo Russell was signed to a one-year deal. He's sort of a break glass in case of emergency option after Kyrie hurt himself. He's probably the best option available to the Mavericks. He's been in the NBA for a really long time. He was with the Lakers, had nice chemistry with AD, but they moved him to Brooklyn, and then he entered free agency, and he is now with the Mavericks. I have my expectation of D'Angelo Russell comes down to like he provides base level competency that the point guard position requires, and it's less to do with him or whether I think he's bad in so much as like it's just sort of shocking to look at the position level within the Mavericks and see how few resources they actually have invested into it.
Yeah, he's going to be frustrating. He's going to have moments where he misses a defensive assignment in the fourth quarter and Mavs fans are going to pull their hair out. He's going to have a game where he shoots like 5 of 17 and the Mavericks lose by 4 and you're going to be like, what the hell? But he's also going to have a game where like on the second half of a back-to-back in Charlotte, when the team's kind of dragging ass, he's going to score like 28 points. And he's going to have games like that. So it's going to be up and down with him, but I think his skill set fits what the Mavericks are trying to do the best of all the options. And I think I tried to make this point a lot over the summer was it's like any guy they would have signed with the exception that they had to sign Russell was going to be a flawed player. You don't sign a perfect player with that amount of money. Like
guys don't make it to free agency that are perfect players.
Right. Like some of them are going to sign. We're going to have red flags. But yeah, go ahead. I was going to,
he's just say it's like players at that point, he's probably the youngest possible option. I don't even remember who was available. And it's
Chris Paul, Tyus Jones, Malcolm Brogdon. Yeah, among those, I think I would rather have D'Angelo Russell.
He's big, you know, for his size, like for, you know, for compared to those options. Let's see here. How big is he? Am I making that up?
I think he's like what, 6'3", 6'4"?
Yeah, I saw him. He's rangy. He's like 6'3".
Yeah.
You know, he's a lefty, which is a minor thing, but I actually, lefty guards are a bitch to guard because of your brain.
Your brain wants to force everyone left, right?
That's right.
Yeah. He does things like he makes sense. You know, he's a good three-point shooter, and he's a good three-point shooter on his own. Like, he's not just a good spot-up threat. He's a good pull-up three-point shooter, which they're going to need. They need self-creation. He can self-create buckets. Like, you think about someone like Chris Paul or Tyus Jones. Malcolm Brogdon's pretty good at this, but he's also hurt all the time. Like, you cannot, like, this Mavericks team with all their injury concerns in the front court, that you cannot sign Malcolm Brogdon.
Also, Kidd had him in Milwaukee, and I don't think
he liked him.
They didn't get along. So it was actively hilarious to me to hear that Kidd was interested in him, because that's just the most coach thing ever to be like, oh yeah, I would love to have the guy that I hated once.
Yeah.
It's so like Gary Carlisle coded.
Right. Yeah. So, when you look at that, like he has the most self-creation potential.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's not a downhill threat, which is going to be, you know, you've talked about this, like AD.
That's just a Mavericks problem at this
point. Yeah, yeah. And you've talked about how AD kind of needs a downhill threat. They need someone that can pressure the rim from the guard position. They don't really have that. That's not his game. But he is a good, this is like, I don't want this to sound like a backhanded compliment. He's a good standstill passer. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a good ball mover. If you're not asking him to, like, create something out of nothing or create by going downhill in the pick and roll, like, he's a good swing passer. And again, I'm not trying to, like, give him backhanded compliment. Like, and when you think about this Mavericks team, like, they're going to be running pin downs for Clay. You got to imagine Lively and AD are going to be cross screening for each other under the rim.
Placing the ball in the right spot so those guys can catch is important.
Yes, and he's good at that stuff. He's good at reading defenses in that way, off the catch, not on the move. And I think the Mavericks have players that can benefit his strengths. They can mitigate some of his weaknesses because he's a dog awful defender. But the Mavericks are going to have three top tier defensive players probably on the floor at all times. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's PJ, AD, Lively, you know, whether it's Lively, Cooper, AD, Lively, PJ, Cooper, like they're going to have length and defense on the floor a lot. And then, like you said, he's got the built-in chemistry with AD. I think we talked about this last pod of the top 10 inverted pick and roll partners in terms of efficiency last year. AD and Russell were on that list. Also AD and Max Christie. So he's a good off-ball screener. Like he'll move without the ball. He'll screen as a guard, which is good because guards don't like screening. So he'll screen for AD, pop for a three, do stuff like that. So I think he'll be fine. And then he'll come off the bench when Kyrie's healthy, and that'll make it even better. And then we'll see. But he's definitely going to have games where you're like, oh,
I need to make it. And this is almost for me more. I'm saying this more for me more than anyone else is I need to lighten the fuck up about him in the season. I'm putting that out there in advance because he's being put in a position that I don't think is fair for him. The expectations for this team are too high and he's not necessarily the player to meet them. And so that's not his fault. I think if this team had Kyrie, let's say that they get Kyrie for 25 games. Kyrie is actually a pretty, when Kyrie wants to be, he's a pretty good defender, but he's still small. I just think the two of them work well together in a theoretical offense. Like it's just two guards who can pass and who can move with a front line that can blot out the sun. It's at least interesting. Yeah. So it's just, there's going to be nights of where, a bad
situation.
Yes, you know, there's nights where he's going to be frustrating and I'm going to have to really do my best to understand the context for which he is sucking. And it's not necessarily on him.
But it's also okay to say when he sucks, when a play, like if he sucks, you know, like, hey, he ain't played bad. We don't
I don't know how to structure this in a podcast, but you and I have been talking about some things in our Slack that I think would make interesting podcast discussions in terms of the Mavericks offense versus the Mavericks defense and just how extreme this feels like it could be. And when I say extreme, I mean really throwback basketball shit happening here. Like the Mavericks aren't going to shoot threes. They are going to defend the paint and they're going to dare you to beat them from outside. The problem is there are lots of NBA teams who can just nuke you from outside now. And so it's a different discussion. That's my fault for even bringing it up, but it's just where I go from.
You need to have that discussion before the first regular season.
Yes. Yes.
Like a season preview kind of thing.
Yes. Well, so Russell, I am in a place where he's not going to shoot 37% from the floor this year. God, he shot 37% from the, that was with Brooklyn. Okay.
Yeah. And he was kind of hurt. Okay. He's not normally hurt a lot. Like he's pretty durable, but
yes. Yeah. And Kevin Gray of DLLS notes in the chat that if things go well for D'Angelo Russell, he'll be playing somewhere else next year. And that's what's the opposite of mutually assured destruction. Like that's good. That's good for everybody. If he plays well, that means the Mavericks are going to be better off. And then you just kind of deal with that as you go. Last guy. Derek Lively, our 2023 draft pick, who the night of the draft I still remember being kind of grossed out about, and through 50 games I remember being kind of ugh about, and then all of a sudden with the trade and the change in the rules interpretation in 2023-24, Derek Lively became a key to Dallas Mavericks Smash Mouth basketball. And he's played under 100 games because last year was a bit of a throwaway year, for being quite candid, due to injuries and due to Maverick medical malpractice, call it what you will. This year seems like a big year. He was very positive in media day. If you know, the Mavericks almost certainly will extend him, but how he plays this year, I think, determines the level of that extension. And I'm going to be curious to see what he can and isn't able to show. You know, Mark Cuban made the comment on DLLS that he thinks the season will go based on how many threes Lively shoots, and I think he was sort of saying that glibly. Is funny. But it's just like I really don't know what to expect other than something better, other than to hope for something better than last year.
Yeah. I think people, the 3-point shooting stuff, like, we need to just get that out of the way. That's not happening. Mm-hmm. He didn't even attempt or spot up for three in the preseason. And if you're going to start doing that, you would start doing that in the preseason. So, people act like he can become a floor spacer. He did make a 3-pointer in the finals and from the corner. It did look very good, but that's like a surprise. Like, if that ever happens, that's cool. Surprise. We got to talk about like the realistic possibilities of him. And again, I was so high on him coming off that 2024 finals run. He was so impressive. You do not see rookies anchor defenses like he did in that finals run. I know he came off the bench, but the Mavericks were so much better with him on the floor during that finals run. Not to even discount Gafford. It's not like
they were.
He was incredible. You just don't see rookies make that kind of impact, especially defensively. Like, maybe you'll see a rookie come off the bench and fill it up as like a six man spark plug role, like for a playoff team. You very rarely see rookies impact the game defensively in the way he did for a finals team. Like, that's you just don't see that. So my expectations were through the roof, and that kind of led to, you know, being a little disappointed with his second season, but he got hurt. So for him, it's just get back on the horse, get back on that trajectory. We don't need to see anything crazy from him, I don't think. Just continued evolution of, you know, being a badass defensive center, you know, continuing to improve on finishing at the rim, continuing to improve his passing, his ball handling ability. When I say ball handling, I don't mean like dribbling. I mean like handling the ball at the elbows, being a facilitator, being a dribble handoff hub. He showed strides of that last season. The big thing for him was, can you learn to finish without dunking? And I think he has shown a lot there in the last 2 years, even though it's a little spotty because he had his rookie season and then last season he just didn't play enough. But I've seen some things from him, like he will fake a dribble handoff, he will turn, he will take two dribbles and score at the rim. And it's like, yes, that is stuff that will be huge for him to make a continued growth and kind of turn into being more than just like a defensive role player. Like, I think there is a ceiling to him without him shooting threes, but still being more than just a rim running lob finisher.
Well, they need, if we sort of accept the fact that the spacing is going to be limited and they're going to play, you know, I just typed this out to somebody in the chat, but our guy Tyler Edsel referred to the Mavericks offense as the establishing the run offense. Just it's going to be smash mouth. Like, they're just going to hammer people and or take long twos, which is going to drive me up a fucking wall, but that's a different story for a different day. Lively mixing things up and attacking from ways that he hasn't, or at least hasn't gotten many opportunities to, it changes the variability of how you guard that team within space. He has to be a threat, or within the limited space. He has to be a threat to score. He has to.
Yes.
And, you know,
that's the one thing Gafford has on him, for sure.
No. Well, what do you mean?
Gafford's a much better scorer.
Oh, yeah. He's a willing shooter.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes Lively, it feels like he's in middle school, and he's like, am I supposed to shoot this? It's like, yes. it's going to be fine. Somebody else will get the rebound. He upped his assists. I guess I just don't remember this. As a rookie, he had 1.1 assists a game up to 2.4. He knows what to do.
Yeah, I think it's there. He's got to be healthy. Honestly, if he's healthy, I think everything else falls into place for him. Yeah, because I think he's that kind of guy. That kind of
bigs. So, do you remember how much I hated DeAndre Jordan's turnovers?
Yes.
Like, just DeAndre Jordan had like three absolutely mind-boggling turnovers a game. Lively, yeah. Lively in two seasons averages one a game, which is how it should be. That's an idea. There's just a lot to like about Lively. Just a whole lot.
Right. And that's so. Not even.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting to character, his disposition, his mentality for his age. He's one of my favorite players on the team. He has been for a while. Like that finals run, really, he was really enamored. Like I really got enamored with him during that finals run because you just don't see guys at that age,
yeah,
do that, make that kind of impact on defense as a rookie. So I think as long as he stays healthy, I think he'll be fine.
So, all right. So that's kind of the preview portion of the show. This does allow me to talk about a couple of more things that I heard during the week. So I was listening to Zach Lowe and John Hollinger's podcast. And like, I'm just not as much of a listener of Lowe as I used to be. But they were discussing their five weird teams. And Hollinger just sort of points out the fact that he's like the Mavericks. He thinks the Mavericks have way over indexed on size. And I mean,
that's not an uncommon opinion.
See, a lot of people skate around this. They're like, oh, the Mavericks roster construction is really odd. We don't know how it's going to work. And no one, like, Collinger is kind of the first one to be like, this is stupid. And so Luke Byrne in the chat says, Hollinger is annoying. Maybe so.
Long-time enemy of Mavs fans.
I appreciate a position. If you think something is, like, that's where look, like we found a market by simply saying what we thought as opposed to rose-colored glasses bullshit. And if you think this team is weird in a bad way, that's a discussion point. I mean, we're going to find out soon enough. It ultimately doesn't matter. But it was just, it's like the way over-indexing on size. But he also said something where he's like, the future of this team is Lively and Flack. And he's like, the sooner the Mavericks ownership and general managership realizes it, the better off the team will be positioned for the future. And it's just a really blunt way because it's,
I mean, he's not, even if you're gung ho about this team, he's not wrong. I mean, Kyrie and AD are nearing their mid 30s. Like it's, they will not,
well, that's
they will not part. Be on this team when Cooper is a 28 year old.
We're going to bury this in the last 5 minutes of this podcast. The other thing Zach Lowe said, which just, I'm sitting here, I was driving in my car and I go, why? He said in July of 2026, so roughly 9 months from now, the Dallas Mavericks will have the option to extend Anthony Davis, to offer him another extension. Keep in mind, he is playing in year one of an enormous extension right now. It's like $183 million. He's roughly making $60 million a year.
His last player option, it's like, yes, $63 million or something.
And it's a player option. It's very important. Yeah. The player option, they always want that flexibility. Let's go from there. Why would the Mavericks offer him an extension then instead of just waiting until the year before the player option? Like, I don't want to, I'm not talking about whether you think Anthony Davis is good or bad or any of that sort of stuff, though I do want to note that, like, a part of why Nico Harrison traded Luka Doncic is because they didn't think you could build a team paying anyone that much money. And there's some validity to that once you get past the number. So why would you commit that much money? Let's say it's like a 70, you know, it's another 3 year extension. Why would you do that? I just didn't, like, Lowe brought it up and I was baffled. Why would the Mavericks do that? Who is the market for 34 year old Anthony Davis who plays 55 games a year?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm sure there is. I'm trying to skirt my, like, sort of AD, like, confusion. Cause it's like, it borders on, like, sometimes I'm all right pessimistic on AD, if I'm being honest. But it's just a weird thing to bring up. You're like, oh, the Mavericks have a choice to make. And it's like, no, they don't. The future is Cooper Flag. You don't what?
I think it comes down to, you know, AD's a clutch guy also. Like, it's just going to be interesting. I think Lowe made a comment like Gady is the kind of guy who walks in and just expects the max, like, in terms of, like, there's no negotiation here. Like, he's, like, I'm that kind of player. I might be paraphrasing. Right, you know. So, like, you know, they'll have to figure that out. And who knows? I don't know. Like, boy, a lot could change between now and July.
Yes.
Like, holy cow, a lot could change by then. So let's, yeah.
I guess right. Wait, no, you're right. It was just, it was so odd. I had just had
it would be weird. It would be weird. Even if they love AD and they want to keep him around, just financially, it doesn't make sense to sign. You know, you should wait. You could wait till the year before his player option.
Yeah, it's just like wait that whole next season. Like, do right by him. Like, I'm not insisting that they, like, you know, kick him to the curb or treat him like crap or trade him immediately. I will think that they should trade him immediately, but I'm not. That's not going to be something I'm banging a drum about because it's not going to happen. But it's just, it's such an odd thing to bring up about this team, because I guess he's talking about their window because it's like the self-imposed window. But it's like when you have Cooper Flagg, all that window talk goes out the war. Like, it goes away, and they're already tinkering with expectations, as they should. Kid talking about Kyrie, maybe, you know, let's slow those horses down a little bit, is important. It's what I want them to do. Like, I want this team to win. I think top six playoff expectations are just really, really crazy. Like, Proud Vet says, if they struggle early, Kyrie will be back by Christmas. Just as a point of fact, Kyrie Irving has never once come back from an injury early in the history of time. And he's had some weird and lengthy injuries. He's already unpaid, so he has no reason to do that. Why would he take his health into account there? And I think and that sort of thought from the fans, I think is pretty common. It's like, oh, well, Kyrie wants to come back as soon as possible. And it's like, of course he does. All these guys want to come back. Like, you very rarely get guys that don't want to come back. But it's also, it's ACLs are at 30s or nothing to mess with. It's just this, they just got to throttle these expectations back and say, we want to make the playoffs. The playoffs, yeah. Not be a contending team, the playoffs. And if go ahead.
I was going to say, they had to talk about winning a title because you don't trade Luka and then we want to be a playoff team.
Sure.
So they had to keep up that charade because they rationalized the Luka trade by saying publicly, we think this makes us closer to a championship team. So, but then you're right. Once you draft Cooper, that goes out the window. Like, now it doesn't matter if you don't win a championship this year because it's about the franchise is about Cooper long term. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, we get to see him play basketball again on Saturday. That'll be interesting because if LaMelo Ball is playing, I'm curious to see how they defend someone who willingly jacks like 45 footers. because, in the sense of like how they choose to defend teams that want to bomb away from three is gonna sort of make or break their season. And the Hornets aren't very good. We'll get to see Con Knepel and their second round guy who I liked watching at Summer League. I mean, the Mavericks should just annihilate this team too.
Well, it depends on who plays.
I sort of expect everybody to. We've not seen any indication otherwise. Everybody that's available should get minutes. I liked the minutes distribution the other day. You know, Flagg didn't, we didn't really even talk about this. I guess we did. Flagg didn't score until the second quarter and they didn't need it. But the Thunder was like, that was,
yeah, they were rolling out there.
I was like watching fifth graders play third graders. Like, that was uncomfortable after a while.
Yep.
But like I said, Josh and I will be back, or one of the two of us will be back with somebody. I don't want to make anyone. Luke Byrne asks, any coverage of the fan gym? That's actually a good question. Probably not.
Can't do a live podcast. Like,
well, it's mostly just because like we're probably gonna be able to go. Like our weekend, like my weekends are youth sports. Like, just my kid is playing three sports right now because he wants to, and I can't tell him no.
There will be plenty of our Mavs media friends.
No, I might see if any of our guys go. Like, that's a good question. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Festive Feast Lover. What a great comment in the chat there to end our show on. Really appreciate that level of fandom or people popping into a live stream. Again, thanks so much for your support or lack of support. We're just glad you're here. We're glad to be talking to everybody again. We will be back on Saturday night. Everyone have a good Friday and go Mavs.
I'm Sean Sharif.
And I'm RJ Chubb. And we're the voices behind Sean and RJ, the show DFW wakes up to.
Cowboys, Rangers, Mavs, Stars, if it's happening in DFW sports or nationally, we're all over it.
Real talk, no filter, inside info, lots of laughs mixed in.
Whales for guests, and we're bringing the opinions and energy every single morning.
Follow and listen to Sean and RJ on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
New episodes drop every weekday, and as we say on the show,
get appreciated.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.